John Molinaro, chief sock reporter for Sportsnet, joins us to talk about all these things. Hey, John, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
John, Thanks. Did you ever think you would live to see the day where Canada's hosting a World Cup?
Well, it's not 2026 yet.
No, I didn't, if I'm being completely honest. You know, as someone who's kind of covered Canadian soccer for, you know, almost 20 years, I've certainly lived through dark days and the dog days of this, you know, the national team program. So, no, I mean, never in my wildest dreams would I have thought that the world's biggest sporting event would be touching down on Canadian soil. That said, I'm ecstatic that it's coming. I know it's only 10 games, but I still think it's a great thing for the sport in this country and just for sports in general in Canada.
Were you nervous? Did you think that the voting parties could mess this up? Because we know that it's not as though soccer is not corrupt. We know that they're
FIFA gonna FIFA.
Yeah, FIFA is just like classic FIFA. They right. award it to Morocco. Was there any doubt in your mind, or was that kind of just a theory that was floating around? It was just a given.
No, I was quite fearful, if I'm being completely honest.
Fearful. You know,
I've been writing. Yeah, I've been writing for months about, you know, this wasn't a lock, how, you know, Morocco was a legitimate contender for a whole variety of reasons. It's for no other factor than, you know, the Trump factor, as I called it, because, you know, the anti-U.S. sentiment was a serious concern from everyone I've talked to. So, yeah, I mean, I wasn't taking anything for granted. I was quite concerned that, you know, Canada wouldn't win. Nice to see that, you know, politics and whatnot didn't play a part in the final result and that, you know, things worked out the way they did.
Chief soccer reporter for Sportsnet, John Molinaro, joining us here on the Jeff Blair Show. All right, John, so we're hearing that it isn't a lock as of yet that Canada's guaranteed to be in this tournament. Is that just a formality, or we should legitimately be worried that Canada has to go through qualifying to play in this tournament?
Yeah, it's. I think it's one of the things that people that's kind of flown under the radar, and people just assumed that Canada would automatically qualify because historically that's always been the case with World Cups when they're awarded. The host always gets an automatic berth. But because 2026 is expanding from 32 to 48 nations and there's three nations involved, the qualifying process is, you know, changing a little bit. So they still have to vote and determine, you know, how many of the three nations involved here, Canada, U.S., and Mexico, if any of them, will get automatic berths, or if they'll all have to, or any of them will have to go through the qualification process. My sense is that it's going to be a formality, that when FIFA does hold a separate vote on that sometime in the future, that all three hosts will get automatic berths, and they won't have to go through the qualifying process.
Okay, so in theory, Canada's in. They're going to be playing in 2026. That's great right. for soccer in this country, 100%. I'm wondering about athletes, though, that have the ability to play for other countries. Just say someone's grandfather is half Jamaican, and in history, they would have gone and played on a team that's not a Canadian club. Do you think that this would still be the case, or the fact that Canada is going to play at home in the World Cup would motivate players who have options to kind of reinvest in their home team?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's any question that's the case. And it's already kind of been trending that way for the last two or three years, where you've seen sort of notable players who had other options declare for Canada anyway. And this was long before today's vote. Mm-hmm. So I think this just sort of solidifies that, right? I mean, if the possibility of you know, playing in a home World Cup on home soil, you know, I have to think would be a big draw for anyone who's kind of weighing their options as to whether to play for Canada or for another nation. So, yeah, I think it's a big boost for the Canadian national team in that regard.
John, does John Herdman, did he have a sense that this potentially could happen? Because I think a lot of us were surprised when he left the cushy gig he had with the Canadian women's team. But for people who know the game, it's a much high profile. It's a higher profile job to be the head coach of Canada's men's soccer team. Do you think he knew this was on the horizon? And do you think he can last long enough to be in charge of Canada's, you know, entry into this World Cup? Is he going to be here 8 years from now, being on the sidelines of Canada's men's team, hopefully playing down at BMO Field?
I think he sort of had this in his mind when he sort of made the switch. I mean, he had previously talked about eventually wanting to get into the men's game and, you know, leaving, you know, the women's team after a certain amount of time. So, but I don't doubt that this was probably, you know, a factor, probably not the biggest factor, but it was certainly on his mind when he made the decision. as to whether he'll be there in 8 years, you know, 8 years is a very long time in international football. I mean, there are very few managers who last, you know, more than 2 or 3 years. It's usually one World Cup qualifying cycle and that's it. So, I mean, could John possibly still be in charge in 2026? It's possible. I think it'll largely rest on, you know, what direction he changes the program, because they made the switch to great fanfare, you know, already having Octavio Zambrano in place. And, you know, he was starting to make strides with the national team, and they drastically changed courses when they hired John in January. So he's clearly on the clock here. I mean, they brought him in to great expense and great fanfare. So now he has to produce. So I think it'll depend on, you know, the next few years and how Canada develops. And, you know, if there's significant progress, like, you know, qualifying for the 2022 World Cup in Qatar, then I would think that would pretty much seal his fate for 2026. But it's, you know, we're a long way off from having that conversation as to, you know, whether he'll still be ensconced as the national team manager.
Yeah, there's a lot of work to be done before this whole thing kicks off in 8 years from now, to say the least. I'm just wondering, from your perspective, though, is there any lessons, good, bad, whether it's execution, that we here in Canada can learn from having the Women's World Cup here in 2015, like things that went well, or something that you'd like to see change prior to the men's tournament?
I think just, you know, what was really great about the Women's World Cup is that it was just so inclusive. And I mean, they really sort of did a good job of, you know, in the build-up, going to communities, you know, across the country, and really sort of reaching out and getting them involved and really getting the word out, and, you know, really encouraging, you know, young girls to take up the game, and just holding up, you know, the World Cup as, you know, something to aspire to. And I think, you know, it'd be nice to see if, you know, Canada Soccer does the same thing with the 2026 World Cup, to hold it up as an example, as something that, you know, young Canadian players, both male and female, should aspire to. I think if they can take that track, like they did with the Women's World Cup, I think that's one thing that they should definitely do.
It's just so much more difficult, it seems like, with the men's game, just because of the international figures that you have. I feel as though Canadians, it takes a lot more to impress them because of the legends that they look up to now in the international game, as opposed to trying to switch your focus onto a Canadian hero that you're trying to build for this tournament.
Sure, no, absolutely. I mean, you know, I would think, like, a lot of soccer fans in this country, you know, think of Cristiano Ronaldo or Lionel Messi as their soccer heroes, as opposed to someone like, you know, Julian de Guzman or Dwayne de Rosario, two, you know, former national team members. So, but again, I think that's why it's so important that Canada, you know, got this World Cup, is that, you know, kids need heroes to look up to. And if kids in this country, you know, see Canadian players playing on a home, in a World Cup on home soil, I think that's just a game changer for the sport of soccer in this country. So I think it could be a really watershed and pivotal moment for Canadian soccer in 2026.
John, how much faith should sports fans in this country have in the Canadian Soccer Association that they'll get this right heading up to 2026?
In what sense?
In one sense, that they've been a tumultuous organization, to say the least. They can't marry themselves with the provincial soccer associations. We've heard about all this infighting with the Canadian Soccer Association. We've heard a lot of, you know, disappointing results. Do you think that they can get things straight here, that to be unified with all the other soccer associations in the country, that we can work towards a common goal and have a competitive team in 2026?
I hope so. I mean, I think there's, you know, a groundswell of support that's, you know, sort of going around Canada Soccer in the last few years. I think, you know, obviously the appointment of John Herdman, you know, very popular figure who did so well with the women's side. You know, although it caught a lot of people off guard at first, I think, you know, a lot of people are genuinely excited about it. So, you know, 8 years is a long time. I mean, you would think that would be enough time to get their act together, so to speak. But as I said, I think there's already been positive steps in the build-up to this vote. And if you know, the association can continue to progress in the manner that it is, then, again, I think it really bodes well for 2026 and hopefully fielding a competitive team at the tournament.
Chief Soccer Reporter for Sportsnet, John Molinaro, joining us here on the Jeff Blair Show. All right, John, the World Cup is kicking off tomorrow. It is Russia and Saudi Arabia. And I think a story that's kind of flying under the radar, which is a big story because of this big announcement today, is Spain has sacked their manager days before they're starting off the tournament because he took a job with Real Madrid. How important is this story, and what does this mean for a team that has World Cup aspirations?
Yeah, it's pretty big news. You know, I had Spain down as my pick for winning it. Now I'm not entirely sure, to be perfectly honest. This is quite an about face because Julian Lopetegui did a very good job of taking over Spain since he was appointed in the aftermath of Euro 2016. He led them through a very successful World Cup qualifying campaign. Signed a new deal to stay with Spain, contract extension just last month. So you have to think this Real Madrid deal came, very, very recently. And it doesn't sound like he really discussed it with the Spanish Soccer Federation because it caught them quite off guard. It's a debacle. I mean, to be perfectly frank, I'm not quite sure. I mean, I think he probably could have handled it better, but I'm not quite sure why, the Spanish Soccer Federation is making this drastic choice, 2 days before they play the opening World Cup. Okay. So he's taking a job with Real Madrid. That's going to be after the World Cup. Let him coach the event. I mean, I'm not sure what the problem here is. It just seems like Spain is creating a crisis where there really isn't one. And as I said, with 2 days before their opening game in the World Cup against Portugal, no less, and Cristiano Ronaldo, it just seems like a very rash move on their part.
It's definitely a big-time petty move. And, John, I hope you can at least either get your money back in the pools where you chose Spain or at least redo your bracket before the tournament starts. Have you sent any emails out to see if you can do that?
I'm sticking with Spain. I've made my bet. Just on paper, I still think they're fantastic. And I'm not going to take it away. But there's no doubt I'm definitely worried about this now.
John, give me a couple countries that you think can make some noise here, surprise in this tournament, and then give me a big time country that you think potentially could flame out of this tournament earlier than all of us expect.
Well, I think some countries who could make a little bit of noise are Croatia. I think they just have a wonderful midfield with players like Ivan Rakitic of FC Barcelona and Luka Modric from Real Madrid. I think they're two of the best playmaking midfielders in the world. So they're a quality side. I think Belgium has depth and quality all over the pitch. When you think of players like Romelu Lukaku, the Manchester United forward, and Thibaut Courtois, Belgium go far. And then there's teams like Uruguay and Peru from South America, who I think no one's really talking about. Now, although they don't have the same depth as, say, Spain or Germany, two of the favorites, I think they do have enough to potentially go on a run in the tournament. As far as who's going to flame out, I love Lionel Messi. I think he's just a fantastic footballer, but I don't see Argentina doing all that well. I don't know that Messi has necessarily a strong supporting cast around him. I think Portugal, I know they're the European champions, but I think that defense is aging and there's serious questions about their back line. So it wouldn't surprise me if they went out early. And England, I mean, every 4 years they expect to win the World Cup, and every 4 years they tend to flame out pretty early on. So it's a young side. Maybe it's too early for them. Maybe we should be talking about them in as 2022 as World Cup contenders, but I think it's far too early for them to make a statement at this World Cup.
John, I came across an interesting story this morning, actually, on the BBC, and I'm wondering if this is something that's normal, because for me it seems completely rash and a little bit irrational, but there's 10,000 fans that are expected to go from England, the UK, to Russia to watch some of the soccer festivities, but there's 1,300 people that have football banning orders, and the police actually went after them to take their passports away because they can't go to Russia. The English police have actually reassured Russian authorities that only quote unquote genuine fans would attend. This seems absurd, but is this normal in the football world?
It's not unusual, actually. I mean, a lot of countries will. I think what's at play here is, to a certain extent, is the geopolitical tensions between the UK and Russia, mm-hmm. with, recent events. I think, and this is completely unfair, but I think English fans sometimes their reputation for hooliganism precedes themselves.
Yep.
So that was probably a play out of a part here. But no, this isn't terribly unusual. A lot of countries will, sort of take steps like this, in the name of, for safety and wanting to avoid fan violence. But as I said, there's different sort of aspects going on here.
John, before I let you go, we're focused now on Russia. It's about to kick off. We're looking ahead to 2026. But the 2022 World Cup, which everybody thought it was going to Qatar or Qatar. I don't even know how you properly say that country's name. But obviously, there's a ton of issues going on with the stadiums being built. The tournament will be played in November, which is an absolute joke because it's 30 degrees instead of 48 degrees Celsius in the middle of the summer. Is that tournament still going to go ahead there, or because we hear talk that it potentially could get moved? Have you heard anything that if it does get moved, where would it go to? And is it going to be played in that location in 4 years' time?
It's going to be played in that location in 4 years' time. It's all this talk about it being moved, I think, is nonsense. The lawsuits and the legal headaches that FIFA would face from taking it away from Qatar, it would be an unbelievable headache and nightmare. So, yeah, I think, it's going to Qatar. I know that doesn't sit well with a lot of people, especially the European leagues, because, the playing in December means that they're playing in the middle of their league season. So I understand that they're all pissed off. But, FIFA has made its bet. It's voted. It's going to Qatar. I'd be incredibly surprised if they ended up moving it away, because, as I said, I just think it would lead to too many legal headaches and challenges for FIFA to withstand.